Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Boston is no stranger to crime stories, both real and imagined. The city was captivated by the trial of mobster James Whitey Bulger, when testimony by both gangsters and cops revealed the way this small city can breed big criminal gangs and colorfully corrupt politics.
All of which is rich material for novelists. Robert Parker, Dennis Lehane, and many more have mined Boston's tangle of neighborhoods, dark alleys, dive bars, and tribal loyalties for fictional crime stories of their own.
Now add writer Stona Fitch to the list, who's created a tough, smart, but deeply flawed hero, a Boston cop named Eddie Harkness. As Eddie's boss tells him at one point, Boston is a town of Brahmins and boyos, students and startups, numbnuts and Nobel laureates, all jammed together in a world of short summers and long grudges.
Eddie Harkness, after being blamed for the death of a teenager, is in search of redemption and for the source of a new designer drug that's wreaking havoc in the suburbs. What's not to love about the story?
And Stona Fitch is the author of four other novels, including Senseless, which was made into a movie. His latest is called Third Rail, which he's published under the pseudonym Rory Flynn, and he joins us now in the studio. Welcome, Stona, Rory, I'm not sure what to call you.
Thanks, Anthony.
It's good
great,
to have you.
Great to both be here.
Yeah, but it's good to have both of you here. So let's start with your hero, Eddie Harkness. At the start of the novel, this guy's having quite an evening. He's on foot dodging speeding cars on the Mass Pike. He gets drunk on whiskey specials in a sleazy dive bar, ends up going home with a waitress with a great name, Thalia Havoc. And by the next morning, along with his hangover, he's realized that he's lost his gun. So this is a really exciting start to an interesting character. Tell me more about Eddie Harkness.
Well, Eddie, you know, when we meet him, he's really at a low point. Yeah. And one of the things I love to do with a character is take away the thing that's most important to them and see how they react. And in his case, because he's a BPD narcotics detective, you know, losing your gun is not something you want to do. And so he's in trouble. And yeah. that search for the gun, the quest for the missing gun, leads him into a whole other realm of Boston as well, and another story involving, as you heard about, a designer drug called Third Rail.
Yeah, and I want to ask you about that. But first, tell me a little bit more about Eddie, because he's sort of in search of redemption. I mean, he's on administrative leave from the BPD after being blamed for the death of a teenager and the chaos following a Red Sox World Series. So what happened to him?
Well, he's got, you know, like any hero, he's got a pretty major set of flaws.
Yeah.
But he's likable. He's smart. He went to Harvard. You know, he's known as Harvard Cop among people who sort of make fun of him. He's got a family history that's pretty dark. He's trying to sort of redeem his family name. His father was involved in sort of a mini Madoff Ponzi scheme in a small town west of Boston. And, you know, he's just really got a lot of baggage. And as we start the book, we meet him at the absolute low point. And the rest of the story is him managing to, even though these things are all, you know, flaws, that he has a sense of humor, he has a sense of empathy for the people around him, and he loves Boston, and he yeah. wants to help out.
Let me get you to read, if I could. This is a passage on page 107, and it's the moment when Eddie's reflecting on this moment right before the death of a teenage Red Sox fan, and this moment really defines his career and leads to sort of where we are when the story starts.
Sure. The story begins when a three-run Red Sox homer shoots out of the ballpark into the indigo sky and bounces past Lansdowne Street bars and nightclubs, just opening their doors. The crowd roars. It's the last game of the playoffs, and 30,000 people gush into Kenmore Square to drink, chant, set fire to cars, harass Yankee fans, and beat up their friends, the kind of low-grade tribal violence that passes for celebration in Boston. The plot turns darker when Harkness spots the two Doyle brothers, pale-faced, black-haired, and swaying drunk. Billy, the bigger Doyle, clutches the ankles of Polly Fitzgerald with both hands and holds him squirming, head down over the railing of the Brookline Avenue Bridge, above the roaring turnpike. His brother Dickie thinks this is the funniest thing he's ever seen.
And we won't give away what happens, but this leads to a situation that gets Eddie Harkness into a pretty dark place.
Yeah.
I'd love to ask you about what draws you to this genre, and in particular, Boston as a setting for a crime novel.
Sure. I mean, I've always loved mysteries and crime novels. As a kid, it was what I really devoured when I had time to read, and moved on from Agatha Christie to Robert Parker, Dennis Lehane, of course, later when I was older. And one of my favorite books is George V. Higgins' The Friends of Eddie Coyle. And what I love about that book is it captures Boston in, a rough time, 1970, and was made into a fantastic film with Robert Mitchum. I always felt that Boston was a place, A, that I wanted to live. I moved here from Miami, where I was a crime reporter. And I quickly found that it was a great place to write about as well. I've never really, in my own work, under my own name, haven't written a book that was set completely in Boston. But with this book, under Rory Flynn, the pen name Rory Flynn, it's all Boston.
Yeah. Why the pen name Rory Flynn? I'd love to ask.
Well, why does any writer write with a pen name? There's a couple reasons. Either you want to escape your past or try something new. And for me, I wanted to try something new. I wanted to write a book that was squarely in the mystery crime category. And some of my other books have certainly had, they've been dark and crime-filled, but they've been, more on the sort of literary end of the spectrum, if there is a spectrum at all. And I just wanted to write a series, too. I wanted to write a book that started a series and had some of the same ensemble sort of cast, people that show up, from book to book.
Yeah, and so this is the first of what it's going to be, a three-part series. You're already at work on the second or the third, if I understand correct.
It's a series this is the first debut of it. Yeah. The second one is almost complete, and I've mapped out others, and I wouldn't begin to guess, how many I'd like to write, but I'd like to keep going.
That's great. Well, it's got great, great energy. But I want to come back to this idea of your pseudonym.
Sure.
Is Rory Flynn a different person than Stone Fitch in some ways?
Good question. He's part of me, Anthony. Was it Whitman that said, I contain multitudes,
Yeah.
So unfortunately for me, it's all writers, that are popping out. There's Rory Flynn, there's others. And Rory is, an angle on the way I write and the way I think about things that's slightly different. And I found it really liberating to write under a pen name, just as a chance to recreate and write with a slightly different style. But to be honest, it's not that different. It's more about what you choose to the pace and how you choose to tell your story, which is slightly different. And
well, it's hard. It's hard to, when you think about it, your name is your real name is sort of unusual. Stone of Fitch. It doesn't sort of suggest, tribal membership. Rory Flynn, on the other hand, does, especially in Boston.
Well, I am part Cherokee, just like, like Elizabeth Warren, so maybe a little bit more even.
I want to see the papers, okay?
Okay, definitely. But that's where the unusual first name came from, which in Boston is a tough one because it turns into Stoner, which is not something you want to be called. And, I just chose, it's like the Ramones, everybody that was in the Ramones became a Ramone. I feel like in Boston, if you live here long enough, you can become a Flynn, And there's a lot of Flynns. There's probably a lot of Flynns listening right now, and I want to, thank them for letting me into their tribe.
Now, the title Third Rail refers to this really powerful designer drug that sort of shows up in the suburbs, and your hero, Eddie Harkness, sort of goes in search of where it comes from. Tell me something about this drug and what attracted you to this particular plot line in the story.
Yeah, each of the books in the series revolves around a fictional drug or a slightly fictionalized drug. Third Rail it sounds like a great thing. I always describe everyone who walks around has a sort of knotted ball of problems and concerns and things they're trying to work out. And when you take Third Rail, it's a smart drug. It sort of unwinds all these things and makes you feel like your problems are triumphs. And that's all a great thing. But like any drug, it has a dark side. And when it wears off, the knots retie themselves, maybe even a little tighter. So it's an unregulated, drug that doesn't fall into the normal classifications. And it's very popular because it's incredibly euphoric. But it also creates a huge amount of devastation among the people who take it. And part of the book is following, it's arc from something that people seem to really be attracted to quickly realizing that it has a terrible cost.
And Eddie Harkness has a great instinct for sort of solving crimes, but he's also, he goes against the grain. And at one point, he tries the drug.
Right. I mean, he's definitely the sort of cop who doesn't follow all the rules.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he's, you know, pretty bold and brave in a funny way, but also, you know, sort of foolish in that that's something that you really shouldn't do when you're a narcotics detective.
Yeah.
But he's, you know, to be honest, he's on administrative leave, so he makes a case for why he needs to do this.
Yeah.
And he learns just, you know, firsthand how bad it is. And
I was intrigued too. He's on administrative leave because of this trouble he's in the Boston Police Department. He ends up going back to his hometown of Nagog. Am I pronouncing
sure.
that right? Right. Now that doesn't really exist, does it?
It does not.
Right. Okay.
It's a name that's pulled from history books. There's a town near between Concord and Acton that was historically known as that area.
I see.
But you know, I made it up because I wanted a small town that I think you can never really escape your hometown, or mm-hmm. particularly if it's a small town. Everybody knows him. He's there as, you know, the town pariah. He's been sort of banished. He's not even a meter. Like, he doesn't collect the money from the parking meters. He's just sort of in charge of the parking meters. He's like the lowest guy on the force.
This story, it reads so, it reads at such a great clip, but it reads with such authority, too. And I'm just wondering what kind of research you did to do this novel in terms of understanding detective work, or at least making it sound credible.
Sure. I have a lot of friends who are, you know, policemen, either in New York or in Boston, a lot of friends who are former cops. And I do a fair amount of research, you know, to write credibly. That said, I think you have to sort of be willing to fictionalize and to use your imagination. And one of the things I didn't want to do is write, you know, a flat-out procedural where you just walk through the paces of it. There's a lot of twists and turns in this, a lot of things that you wouldn't put in a normal police, you know, driven, detective-driven story.
Yeah.
So, you know, Eddie's, you know, Boston strong, but he's also sort of Cambridge smart and quirky, and one of those Boston originals that I really wanted to write about.
It's he's an original, right? What are the potential pitfalls of writing crime novels? You might have just mentioned it. Is it sort of getting too bogged down in police procedure rather than the story?
Well, I think we're in a great era of crime and mystery writing where all the sort of borders are breaking down, where in the past, if you wanted to focus on plot, you were writing, you know, genre novels. And if you were focused on language, you were writing literary novels. And now that's just gone. I think there's so many wonderful writers writing now in this area that are also fantastic, you know, wordsmiths. Megan Abbott, Walter Mosley, Kate Atkinson, all sorts of people that I really enjoy.
Well, Stoner, you're a great addition to the list. It's a great read. Thanks so much for coming in to talk about it. It's a lot of fun.
Thank you, Anthony.
So that's Stoner Fitch. He's author of Third Rail, which he published under the pen name Rory Flynn. It's the first in a series of Eddie Harkness novels. Stoner Fitch is also founder and editor-in-chief of the Concord Free Press in Concord, Mass. Thanks again, Stoner.
You bet. Thank you.
And that's it for our program today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.